Well, good day and welcome everyone to our sixth session on the blessing. Today we're going to move forward and be talking about Jacob. And the title of this one, I'll just entice you with it, is A Deceiver and the Blessing. Now, last week we studied about Isaac and the blessing that was upon him. We know that blessing originated back in Genesis 1, 28th verse, when the Lord had created man and he spoke a blessing. And it says, then God blessed them. We see how he did it by saying to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And in doing so, what had he done? He really empowered all men for all time. And that is so important because now what we're doing is looking and see how it went down through the bloodline on its way to us. Now that bloodline was first extended through Noah, then Shem, and then on to Abraham, and then to Isaac, whom we studied last week. Now, we were reminded that Abraham was selected by God because he would do what? Faithfully teach and command his children to follow in the ways of God. And that's great advice for us today. We each ought to be doing that to our children, grandchildren as well. Now, when the father stopped the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham. And then he made this statement, because you didn't hold back your son, your only son. And then he began to again repeat a blessing over Abraham. And we noted that Isaac heard it because Isaac was not a little baby. He was a man of fighting age. And that's the same word that's used for lad as well as for the fighting men. But what he spoke over him, just think about Isaac hearing this after being up on that altar to be sacrificed. And this is a Message translation. I'll bless you. Oh, how I'll bless you. And I'll make sure that your children flourish. So he's hearing this saying about him. And they're going to flourish like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the beaches. And your descendants will defeat their enemies. So essentially, Isaac is hearing these words and Abraham, and it's a repeat of the same blessing that the Lord gave him, that you're going to have spiritual sons and daughters, the stars, and you're going to have physical sons and daughters. Now, what a lasting impression this must have made on Isaac, because he heard him talking, he heard the Lord himself talking to his father about his children, about him, and whoever else would follow after him. And that had to make a lasting impression on him. But Isaac had to recognize at some point that this blessing that was coming to him, that he was going to have to believe that it would produce for him just as he had seen it produce for his father. Now, we turn the page and then we find Isaac in the land of Gerar, the Philistine land, where there was a famine and a drought. And the father spoke to him in Genesis 26, 3 and 4, saying this, sojourn or live here in this land for a while is what that means. And I will be with you and bless you. So he's hearing these words now directed at him. And again, he's been debating, is this going to produce the same way for me as it did for my father? And he says, for to you and your descendants, I'll give all these lands, and I'll establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, the spiritual seed, and will give your descendants, the physical seeds, all these lands. And by your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So he heard, really, the gospel of Jesus declared that there's coming one, and in this, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Basically what? The same blessing. Now what did Isaac do? Well, the Lord instructed him to stay there, so he did. In verse 12 of 26 says, he sowed in that land, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold. And we see how that happened, because the Lord blessed him. He sowed because, I think, because he knew he was the blessed of the Lord. It took an act of faith to do that. And saints, today we need that same revelation that he's going to produce for us. And what he says, if we'll do it, it will sustain us through whatever we are going through. And we also saw how jealousy on the part of the Philistines drove them to fill in all the wells that his father and that Isaac himself had dug. And I think there were about five of them. And they came and got so jealous, they drove him away. But then over time, they realized that it was really more about Isaac and his God than it was those wells that they stupidly filled up. And so they came to Isaac, the king, his army guy, and another senior advisor. And this is what they said to him. "We see plainly. We see." In other words, we definitely see. It's very clear that we see that the Lord has been with you. Now, that's an important statement because you're going to see that repeated, not this week, but next week. What is he saying? The Lord's been with you. In other words, he's made the blessing upon your life that he spoke to you that they may not have known about. But because of the Lord being with him and being faithful to his word, that blessing manifested in the life of Isaac. Now today, let's move on and talk about this deceiver and the blessing who is the man Jacob. Now as we closed last week, we were seeing someone who did not value the birthright, and that was who? And a birthright is really a blessing and what it comes with it. And that was Esau. What did he do? He came in hungry from herding and said, "I'm about to die, I'm famished." And basically, he swapped, and Jacob took the birthright for some lentil stew. Now, rightfully, the blessing that we're talking about, the blessing of the Lord, applied to both of these gentlemen, to both of these guys, because it was spoken and to his descendants, talking about Isaac. But this one act of not esteeming the birthright really, I think, had consequences. And it's interesting to note because all this happened in chapter 25, just before what we studied about happened with Isaac and the sowing and reaping of a hundredfold. And it says to me, both these young men had opportunities to see that blessing at work in their father's life. But this was really only the beginning of this one account of lowly esteeming and one desiring the blessing more than the other. We looked at what Jacob meant, and it literally means a heel catcher, someone who catches the heel to cause one to trip or fall. We used the word last week, I think, supplanter, and I looked that up, and it really paints a good picture for us. It says, to supersede another, especially by force or treachery, or in this case, gross deceiving. And this was about to happen again. In chapter 27, Isaac is old. He can't see. He doesn't know how long he's going to live. And he calls in his son Esau. And the mother hears him. And he says, "I want to bless you. I'm getting old. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. So you go out and kill me some meat, the meat I love. Prepare this dish. And when you bring it to me, I will partake and place the blessing upon you." But the mother of these two guys had a different plan. Even though that Jacob was loved by his mother, but Esau was loved more by his father. And so she said to Jacob then, "You go kill two baby goats, bring them in, I'll fix this dish that Isaac likes. And then I'm going to have Isaac bless you before Esau can get back after he's found what he's going to shoot, shoots it, prepares it for travel, brings it back, and cooks the meal." And so that was the plan that she put in place. And then we pick up then in Genesis 27, the 11th verse. Jacob, who they're about ready to go in to Isaac, answered his mother and says, "Behold, my brother Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me. Then I will be as a deceiver in his sight, and I'll bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, Your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. So that plan unfolded just like he had said. Now in verse 27 then, Jacob comes to Isaac and his father asks him, says to him, Please come close and kiss me, my son. So he came close and he kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him. Now he smelled the smell not of Jacob's garments, but of Esau's garments. And so he, again, a deception. He blessed him by saying this, and this is not the blessing of the Lord right now. Only the Lord can declare that blessing over this bloodline. But this is the Father's blessing. He said, See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. So he's tying this knowing that the blessing of the Lord is coming to him. Now may the God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and in the abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Now, remember that phrase, because in a week we're going to see another dream about bowing down. Curse be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. So he's really spoken a father's blessing, knowing that the blessing of the Lord is available to both of them. And I think that's important. And it really made Esau mad when he realized this blessing had been taken from him. So much so that he planned to kill Jacob. Now, Isaac did go ahead and speak a blessing over him. But right now, the way it stood, Jacob had already had the blessing, which the father said, I can't take back. Now, that's a type of the Lord in being faithful to us. He's not going to take this blessing back. So Jacob was the one now who would be leading the family forward in the years to come. Now, in our mind, we would probably think that this action by Jacob would have stopped the blessing that had already been declared of God concerning Isaac's children. Again, both had it. But it would make sense, and we probably wouldn't argue, if the Lord said, you don't qualify for my blessing. But that's not what he said. He said, this blessing is for you. And the Lord, I believe, had to see something in Jacob and his desire for that initial birthright, the fact that he would allow and submit to his mother for another deception. I think what it showed is he had a desire for the blessing. He understood the value of it. He highly esteemed it versus what his brother had done. Even though he had no idea, it seems to me at this time, of how to walk in and walk under the blessing. In other words, to let it produce. But God encounters this man, Jacob. Genesis 28, the 12th verse. And he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, you've heard me say several times, if you've been with us in past years, that in Acts 1 and 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon the earth, there was a rushing of a mighty wind. And I've told you, I think in the spirit realm, that was angels returning to the earth. And I think this is evidence of it. They could only come like through a single portal to do the assignment that they'd been given. But that's not for today. And behold, the Lord, verse 13, stood above it and said, so he's standing above this ladder where angels are going up and down. I am the Lord, the God of your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north. So he's talking about the physical ones again. And in you and your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In other words, there's a spiritual component of this coming too. Verse 15, And behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and you will bring, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done that which I've promised you." And so that was the blessing of God over the man Jacob. And Jacob built a memorial there so that he could remember what had happened. Now, a little later in verse 20, this moved Jacob so much that here's what he said. "If God be with me and will keep me on this journey I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear and I return to my father's house in safety." Now, why is he saying this? Because he's been told, get away from your brother and go back to this land where his mother's from and find you a wife there. So that's why he's talking about coming back in safety. "Then the Lord will be my God, and this stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you do give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Now, this is notable that he would say this. He's deceived in order to get something, and what he really desired was what God was telling him now that had already been promised to him. But there's another key principle in this as well. And what is it? It goes all the way back to Abraham. What did Abraham say after he defeated the four kings? "I'll give you a tithe of all to the king of Salem, the king of peace, who had no beginning or end." I think it was Shem, personally. So I want you to see here, Jacob is responding in exactly the same way that Abraham did. He's tying himself to such confidence in the blessing that he said, "I'm going to give you 10% of what you give me, because I know it's you that's giving it to me, and you'll just bless me even more." Now, we saw with Isaac that this blessing manifested itself really quick. But in the next 14 years, what Jacob would experience as the blessing came to him much more slowly, it did not come rapidly. And what was it that Jacob experienced? Well, he was tending the land for two wives, 7-year commitment for each of them. That's the 14 years. And Laban, their father, told him, "Here's what I'll do. I'll give you them as your wife." He deceived, though. He really lied to Jacob over and over. So he's receiving under the blessing some of what he had sown. So it didn't come to him quick. And so after he deceived him so often, Laban came in when he said, "I want to go." And he asked him to stay with him longer. And here in verse 27 of chapter 30, I want you to see what Laban said to him. "If now it pleases you, stay with me. For I have divined," or "I've come to realize, that the Lord has blessed me on your account." And that's exactly what had happened. Do you remember this happening with others? As it happened with Abraham and Isaac, he saw them. The blessing was seen. Others had seen the blessing. And don't forget Lot, because Lot was with Abraham, just as Jacob is with Laban. And the blessing overflowed to them. So he had become very rich and very wealthy. Now, I want you to see the wisdom of the blessing at work. Continuing in chapter 30 with verse 31. So he said, Laban speaking, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything if you will do this one thing for me. I will again pasture and keep your flock. But let me pass through your entire flock today, removing from there every speckled and spotted sheep and every black one amongst the lambs and the spotted and speckled amongst the goats, and such shall be my wages." Now, those animals were not in the majority. They were in the minority. He goes on to say, "So my honesty will not answer for me later when you come to me concerning my wages. Every one that is not speckled and spotted amongst the goats and the black amongst the lambs, if they're found with me, you can consider them stolen." And Laban said, "Sounds like a good idea to me. I'm going to continue to prosper. And you're going to take the less desirous of the sheep? Sounds like a deal. So for 6 years, that happened. But what had happened? Jacob had received wisdom as how to prosper for himself, his family, and it involved those sheep that were thought not to be the perfect ones. And my insight into this is that the Lord instructed him in some very specific things to do on how he would take some limbs and strip it so that there'd be white, bright, dark, bright wood and a dark bark. And he would have these sheep mate by these rods or tree branches with the white stripes. And we say, how in the world could he prosper? He did. He came out very wealthy. Laban's sons, Laban had passed away. They were jealous because he had so much more. And so here we see again the blessing at work. In fact, verse 43 in that same chapter, 30, says, so the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. And I wrote down in my notes, just like Abraham. Now, as I close today, I want to skip ahead a number of years. He's gone back home. He and his brother reconcile things. He goes back in safety, just as he had talked to the Lord about. But we're going to skip ahead to where God appeared to Jacob once again. And this is the place that came to be known as Bethel, or God with us. Chapter 35 of Genesis, verses 10 to 12, our last verses for today. God says to him, your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. Thus he called him Israel. And God also spoke to him and said, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. Now, a nation, you're going to see that directly, and a company of nations, and you'll see that also, shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. Now, kings obviously could mean physical kings, which as we continue on, you'll see one of them, but it also has this spiritual connotation that he's told him, in you, every nation is going to be blessed. And then verse 12 said, in the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you. And I will give the land to your descendants after you. So what is he doing? He's reaffirming nearing the end of his life, or as he approaches the end of his life, the blessing of the Lord upon him. Now, Israel literally means one will rule as God, or in this case, he would rule as God. And who is it speaking of? It's speaking of himself, Jacob, now Israel, and his descendants. Now, this is where we're going next week. Joseph is going to be our topic next week. But I want you to think back. How many sons did Jacob have? 12. Guess who became the 12 tribes of Israel? All through his sons. So what he's literally saying to him here is, through you is coming the children of Israel. So in conclusion, what are we seeing here? The blessing at work, transferred from generation to generation to generation. And we're going to pick back up right here next week as we begin to talk about Joseph. So I want to wish you a great week. Don't see yourself as having to be absolutely perfect to receive the blessing. God is faithful to you as long as we repent and turn back to Him. And the blessing will continue to work. As we've seen, you don't have to be perfect for that to happen. From generation to generation to us. So we love you. We thank you for joining with us today. And we say, Jesus, who we're going to see, the Lord provided the blessing to me. That's where we're headed.